Congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, vacations can be great, can't they? It is wonderful to spend some time with your friends and see the beauty of God's creation in various parts of this world, also in our own land, in our own area. It is good to just relax for a while and spend time with family, children, grandchildren, and it's good for us to just take some time off because we need that, don't we? Whether we are young or old, it is good to have a vacation once in a while, or regularly, perhaps once a year, a couple of weeks, or whatever it might be. I too had the privilege a couple of weeks ago to spend some time with the with our children, our grandchildren, and listen to some other preachers as well, and take in, particularly take in what the Word of God is all about, studying the Word of God, and also observe what is happening in this world. And I hope to say a little bit more about that in the next few minutes as well. Observe what is happening in our land and in this world of ours today. But vacation time for most of us has come and gone. And we are back into the regular way of church life again, family life, work life, and so on. And so, as you have noticed already in the bulletin, I've chosen the title of Beginning a New Season, Dig In. Beginning a New Season, Dig In. Now, I got the idea for digging in from our Bible passage in which we hear about Isaac's servants digging a well or several wells. And again, I'll speak about that a little bit later on as well. But I'm using this these words, dig in, as an acrostic in order to help you remember this message. And it goes as follows. D stands for dangers facing us. I stands for instructions to follow. G stands for goals to achieve. And then finally, the word, little word, in, stands for being in the Word. So let me just repeat that for a moment. Dig in. D stands for dangers facing us. I stands for instructions to follow. G stands for goals to achieve. And then this word in speaks about being in the Word. So then, as we begin this new season, congregation, let me first say something about the dangers facing us this day and age. One, the Middle East is still a powder keg that could blow up in our face at any time. Iraq, Syria, Libya, they are not out of the woods yet, even though by and large ISIS has been defeated. The Muslim countries are not united at all, though we might think they are. The Sunnis do not like the Shiites, and the Salafites, well, they're of a different mentality altogether, in opposition to the other two groups. And there are more that show up to be different within Muslim society. And the Christians, of course, the Christians, as we know, they bear the brunt of their united attacks. And many Christians are being persecuted because of what is happening, especially in the Middle East. The Kurds and the Turks are at odds with each other. North Korea, well, it's on the news every day by now. North Korea is playing a very dangerous game, and President Trump is ramping up the rhetoric as well. Things are not going well between Russia and China and the U.S., Some have in fact said that these are the throes of a third world war. The second danger that we are facing is death. Apart from the damage and the devastation with the hurricanes and the earthquakes that we have heard of, particularly this past week, what about the hundreds and hundreds of deaths, perhaps climbing into the thousands because of these hurricanes and because of these earthquakes? This past summer, we've had a number of deaths in our area. In fact, also my own father passed away this past summer. This Saturday, not yesterday, but the Saturday before that, September the 16th, someone by the name of Nabil Qureshi passed away at the age of 34 after a year's battle with cancer. Now, Nabil Qureshi is a converted Muslim who has been on the forefront of evangelizing Muslims, particularly. His most famous book, perhaps some of you have read it, Seeking Allah, Finding Jesus, is something that is worthwhile perusing for young and for old, particularly if evangelism is something that is on your agenda. Now he is with the Savior, whom he found, or who has found him, to say it more accurately. But he only became 34 years old. As the saying goes, yes, the aged must die, but the young can die as well. And who knows when it is your time? When it is your time. And the question, of course, for each one of us, young and old, is, are you prepared to meet the Lord Jesus Christ? A third danger that we are facing is what we find in the morality, or the immorality, rather, of our society today. I can say it this way, that morality really is going down the tube, isn't it? The gender business is right off the wall. And children who have to go, or who have no other choice but go to public schools, hear it at a very young age already. The secular schools have to teach it, only to confuse the children more and more at this time. But the greater danger that lies ahead for us is in that little gadget that many, if not most of us, hold in our hand sometimes 10, 12, 14 hours a day when we're not asleep. It's that little gadget called a smartphone. And one of the dangers that has risen, particularly through the use of the smartphone over the last number of years, and no doubt our young people know this very well, it is called sexting. Sexting. Teenagers are told that if you want to be intimate with others of the opposite sex, then it is much better to do it this way. Because, after all, let your hormones do the sexting. It is much like safe sex, in other words. But it is another blow to our society's morality. A fourth danger that we are facing as we begin this season is boredom. Boredom. You have perhaps begun to think already, ah, there we go again, church attendance and young people's meetings, Bible studies, and it's all so boring. I've heard it all already many times. There's nothing new to learn anymore. Occasionally, you do get a different preacher, particularly because you are vacant. But even they become boring after a while because they have said it all, so you think. I'm bored by it all. Boredom. It can sneak up on you unnoticed. Bored with the preaching, bored with traditional church services, bored with the Bible, bored even with God. It's a real danger facing us, isn't it? Well then, let's go on. What are the instructions to follow as we consider those particular four dangers that I have just mentioned. The first one, the possibility of a third world war. Well, the Bible instructs us to trust in God. All you need to do is just read Psalm 2. It, in fact, relates, and we've sung about that already from Psalter number 4, haven't we? It relates about the nations raging against each other, but raging also against God in particular. But what does it say about God in Psalm 2? Well, we are told that the Lord shall laugh. He shall hold them in derision. We are told that there is, and that is how we can explain it, there is, as it were, a judicial grin on the face of a holy God as to what the nations are presently doing. He is holding the raging nations in derision. In fact, you could say even in contempt. And His wrath will soon be poured upon them. Therefore, you and I, we are called to trust in God. God is still in control, dear people. He is still in control. The outcome is still in His hand. And by the way, some of you may have heard that yesterday was supposed to have been the end of the world. It didn't happen. Why not? Because God is in control. Man cannot dictate. Man cannot predict. God is in control. And we may still be here under the preaching of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Secondly, what are the Bible's instructions about death? Well, we are to be prepared to die. While still a teenager, I would sometimes drive through the country and were in the area where I lived, and the road between Smithville and Grimsby was a very sharp turning road, and it had one sign there, and I can still remember it in the face of one of those sharp curves. Prepare to meet your God. That was the sign, and it surely did slow us down, to be sure. It is, of course, a rendition of what we read in Amos chapter 4, verse 12, prepare to meet your God. No doubt the sign was there to slow us down, but the instructions are clear, aren't they? You and I are called to be busy preparing to meet God. And how to do that, we'll also discover that in a few moments. And why are we told to prepare to meet God? Because we may die anytime. What are the biblical instructions then about morality? Well, I believe that Job chapter 31 and verse 1 gives us a very good example. Here Job tells us, and young people listen carefully, but not only just the young people. Job tells us that he has made a covenant with his eyes that he would not look upon, literally, that he would not stare at a young woman. Dear people, young people, maintain a high standard of morality in how you dress, in how you act, in how you communicate. Let your smartphone not drag you into the gutter. What are the biblical instructions in regard to boredom? Well, Psalm 52 and verse 12 gives us words to pray. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. Dear people, pray for enthusiasm and for an enthusiastic interest in the Word of God and for a real desire to serve and to worship Him and to do so with a glad heart, with a heart that is full of the Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore, pray against boredom. Pray against that. And the question can be asked, and can you and I, can we sing it full out from Psalter number 350, With joy I heard my friends exclaim, come let us in God's temple meet. Within thy gates, O Zion blessed, shall ever stand our willing feet. Not our dragging feet, not our forced feet, but our willing feet. Now let me get to the letter G in this little word, dig. G stands for goals. And as we begin a new season, dear people, you should have some goals to achieve. One of your goals for this new season is to overcome a certain character sin. That should be one of your goals, to overcome a certain character, or perhaps more character sins. You have them, I have them. I know that. Character sins. And don't call them character weaknesses, but call them what they are. They are sins, you see. Perhaps it's the sin of lying, or the sin of greed, or the sin of lust, or the sin of anger explosion, whatever it might be. But whatever your character sin might be, make it your goal this season to overcome it by hating it, by fighting against it, by praying about it, and by leaving it through the power of God, the Holy Spirit. Two, another goal that you should have for this season is to resolve, that means bring it to a close, a long-standing conflict. A long-standing conflict. Perhaps there's been a long-standing conflict between brothers and sisters. Your brother, your sister, perhaps. Or between someone in the congregation. I trust that is not the case, but that is possible. Make it your resolve to clean up this conflict, to resolve this conflict. Take the humble road. Go up to the person and say, listen, this is not good. The situation between you and me is not good. It infringes on my prayer life. Let's clear it up. Let's talk about it. And of course, you can have wonderful guidance from the Word of God in that as well. Matthew 5, verse 23 and following. And just let me read that for you for a moment, where the Lord Jesus speaks about conflict and what to do. If you bring your gift to the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go your way. First be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gifts. In other words, before you come to worship God, stop for a moment and say, hey, listen, I've got a conflict that needs to be resolved. The third goal that we need to consider this for this new season is to read at least one book. Now, I don't think that is too much, but read at least one book describing the character of God. The reason why I say describing the character of God, because you and I, we need to know more of who God is, that He is a holy God, a majestic God, a God who is all-seeing. Read one book, at least, describing the character of God. I'll give you a few examples. J.A. Packer, Knowing God. Sinclair Ferguson, on the Holy Spirit. Or David Murray, Jesus, on every page. There you have the Trinity right there in three books described for you. Chew on some of that spiritual matter, on that spiritual meat, and enrich your heart and your soul with it. It surely will. It surely will. I know that it's common for us to read blogs now, and yes, the Head, Heart, and Hand blog of Dr. David Murray and Tim Challies. They are good blogs to read. They're short reads, and you can get through them very quickly. It is good that you read them as well. But do not neglect the longer versions. That is the books. You and I, we need to know more about God, and so let's read more about the character of God. The fourth goal to achieve this new season is to win someone for Christ. Let's win someone for Christ. Catechism season is beginning or will soon begin. Confession classes, Bible studies. Bring a friend with you, young people. Bring a friend with you. Some of you, no doubt, have done this in the past, and it's good that you do this, but continue on with that. Society meetings, they are starting up. Adults, couples, seniors. Well, why not invite a neighbor to come along with you? Tell someone about Christ. Does our confession not also teach us in Lord's Day 32 that by our godly conversation, and conversation means not only our talk, but it also means our conduct, but that by our godly conversation, others may be gained for Christ. And again, I want to say something about Nabil Qureshi. Read his book on how to evangelize Muslims, how to go to someone and say, let's sit down and talk about what God means. It is a wonderful way to make friends. It is a wonderful way to gain someone to the Lord Jesus Christ. Last week, in fact, and I think you can still catch it on Dr. Murray's blog or on Tim Challey's blog and some other blogs as well, an interview with Nabil Qureshi. And it was very interesting to hear how he was actually converted to Christianity. You see, it was an atheist by the name of David Wood who somehow or another became a Christian. And no doubt other Christians were involved in that. But this converted atheist felt a burden to speak to others about Christ. And so he befriended Nabil Qureshi. And through the discussions, which lasted for a number of years, in fact, through these discussions and debates, Nabil began to see that Islam is not the way to go, but that Christianity is genuine, genuine. And Nabil Qureshi, he came on fire for the Lord Jesus Christ, and he began to evangelize. If you want to learn something about evangelism, read his book. Are you, young people, middle-aged, seniors, are you on fire for the Lord Jesus Christ, I ask? Let that become your goal also this season as well, that you would win someone for Christ. Well, that covers these three letters that are to be found in the word dig. Dangers facing us, instructions to follow, and goals to achieve. But now, to the most important part that has to do with this little word in, I-N. Begin this season with being in the Word by digging in the Word. Now, we've read from the Word of God, from Genesis 26, 17 through 33. You may have wondered, well, what has that got to do with the message of this morning? But listen carefully. I have picked this passage, you see, to show you how to dig in the Word of God, how to be in the Word of God. Here we have this Old Testament story about Isaac and his clan living in the land of the Philistines for a while, in fact, near the city of Gerar. But there has been some trouble between Isaac and Abimelech and between the servants of both of them as well. And so Isaac and his clan left Gerar and moved southward into the desert. And on their way into the desert, Isaac's servants began to dig some wells that had been dumped full again over the years, so that they could and their flock could drink. However, by at least two freshly dug wells, a fight broke out between the servants of Isaac and the servants of Abimelech, the herdsman. Isaac found that so profound that he even named those wells accordingly to the struggles they had. He named the one well Isik, which means quarrel, and the other well Sitna, which means enmity. Finally, another well was dug, and no quarrel ensued at that time, and Isaac called it Rehoboth. And I think most of our young people will know the meaning of that name, because that's the school you go to as well. The Lord has made room for us. Isaac has been very patient throughout this whole ordeal as well, and this patience has paid off, because at a certain point, Abimelech pays him a visit, and the two are able to have a contract of peace between each other. Now, this takes me to my text verses then, the verses 32 and 33, where Isaac's servants actually report that they have dug another well and that they have found water. And Isaac names that well Sheba. And of course, that is a double meaning, has a double meaning, the double meaning of covenant and of seven. And it is located presently near the present city of Beersheba. Beersheba. Now, is this just an Old Testament narrative about what it means to dig wells in the desert? Well, if that's all you conclude from it, then you need to dig deeper. Because what we read here is more than just some historical information. And here, Dr. Murray of Grand Rapids has been a great help in his cemetery, in his seminary. Boy, that was a... in his seminary lectures on preaching Christ from the Old Testament. With one of his books, Jesus on Every Page. And in that book, he also tells us that we are to be in the Word. We are to be also in the Old Testament part of the Word of God. And as we are in that Word of God, whether it is the Old or the New Testament, we are to dig into it until we find the Lord Jesus Christ in it, one way or the other, or something that points to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the question I would want to ask this morning, where can you and I find Christ in our text passage, verses 32, 33. Where can you and I find something in these words that point to Christ? I'm going to give you just a few seconds to think about it. Look at it and see if you can find something of Christ in there. I think you've probably found it already. It's in the words, "We have found water. We have found water." Now, why would the Holy Spirit cause Isaac's servants to exclaim, "We have found water here at Beersheba"? The other wells, they also produced water, didn't they? Well, sure, they did. Nevertheless, the Holy Spirit gives us the express message here this hour, and the express exclamation of these men, these herdsmen, "We have found water." Why? Well, it is to point out to each one of us, young and old, readers of the Word, something that has spiritual significance, you see. These words, you see, point to Jesus Christ. They point to Jesus Christ. Read, for instance, of what Christ says of himself in John 4, verse 10. He is the source of living water. Read what it says in John chapter 7, the verses 37 and 38, on the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Read Revelation 22, verse 17, and the Spirit and the bride say, come, and let him who hears say, come, and let him who thirsts come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. We have found water. And that means for us, dear people, today, we have found Christ. Now, this is why you and I have to be in the Word, you see. This is why you and I have to dig in the Word. We are called this morning, dig in, dig in. And therefore, as we begin this new season, let us be in that Word of God. Let us not be delinquent in laying it aside. Let us be in that Word of God. More yet, let us dig into that Word of God till we find the water of life, till we find something that points to the Lord Jesus Christ or that points us directly to the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us dig in. Let us dig in. Now, you may meet up with some opposition, as these herdsmen also met up with opposition. Sure enough, your flesh may resist it and say that you're just too tired to do that sort of thing. Your work may also resist and say, you know, I don't have time for that right now. Your friends may even say and resist you as well to dig into that Word of God. They would prefer that you would spend time with them and entertain them. Nevertheless, keep digging into that Word of God till you find the Lord Jesus Christ, the water of life. Isaiah, the prophet, he saw spiritual benefits already in his days. And you can take that as a promise. Isaiah 12, verse 3. Therefore, with joy, you will draw waters from the wells of salvation. It is a joy to find water, to find Christ. New season has begun. Dig in. Dig in. And why should you dig in? Till you find the Lord Jesus Christ, the water of life. And why would you need Him as the water of life? Because He is indispensable, dear people. He is indispensable. Without Him as your water of life, you will die. Why did the servants of Isaac dig these wells? Well, they needed water. Their flocks needed water, else they would die. You see, having no water spells death. It did for them, and it will also spell death for us. Because you see, so it is with our need for the Lord Jesus Christ. When there is no Christ in your life, it spells death for you. Spiritual death, eternal death even. And therefore, dig into that Word till you find the Lord Jesus Christ, the water of life. And commit yourself then to Him by faith. And if, and I hope that is the case, if you know this water of life, the Lord Jesus Christ, keep digging into that Word to give you fresh drafts of water, to keep you healthy, spiritually healthy, well refreshed, comforted, encouraged, joyful in the Lord. Because you as a believer may lay claim to the confession and the testimony of Psalm 23, the verses 1, 2, and 3. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for His namesake. Isn't that what we would want? Isn't that what we would want for this new season? What a great way this would be to start off the new season, dear people. So, let this new season be started with renewed vigor and with fresh enthusiasm. And again, dear people, dig in. Amen.